This is the Out of Time Film Podcast, where your hosts, Tom and John, discuss everything from blockbuster films to TV and games like there's no tomorrow.
Hello and welcome to the Out of Time Film Podcast. I'm Tom.
I'm John.
And this week we're talking about Moana 2.
Tom, I have to be honest.
Please.
I haven't watched the first one.
Wait, still? I thought you were going to watch it before this one.
No, I forgot to. I forgot to watch the first one. But I thought, you know what? This might be exciting for me. I don't know anything about the movie. So this was kind of like a challenge for me. I was like, okay, let's see how confused I get. I didn't get confused at all. I think the movie just gave me context about what happened in the first one. But I gotta say, I heard lots of great things about the first one. Yes.
The first one's pretty good. The first one is a great example of that kind of, does it have a name, this new wave of, you know, after Tangled, Disney Animation made a bunch of original films and they were really well received. Princess and the Frog, Big Hero 6, Frozen, Moana, Zootopia. We had a bunch of those films, and Moana, it deserves the love that it gets. It's a great film. And this is now going to be really interesting because so much of seeing Moana 2 was like, I can't help but compare this to the original. So I need to know, did you like this movie with no context for the original? Like, how did you find it?
Wow. I wish it was kind of more character driven, but I think that's what the first movie did to explore the relationship between Moana and Maui. I wish that was kind of explored, but again, this is a sequel. I can't just ask for everything for a sequel and just like, there's the first one. I'm like, okay, that's on me. I should have watched the first one. But without context, I thought the movie was all right. Nothing really new, to be honest, from what I've seen that side of Disney.
How much do you know about the production surrounding this film?
I have no clue about the production. I just went blind.
That's so weird because I went at such a different perspective.
Tell me, please. I'm excited.
So this film was announced in, I think, May this year. And they were like, Moana 2 is coming out in November. And we were all like, huh? When have you been working on that?
Yeah.
And then they were like, actually, it's not just Moana 2, but we're retooling the TV show that we were going to make. Now, I'm not sure if this is the entire TV show or this is only like the first few episodes. Think like Star Wars, The Clone Wars. Is this what it's kind of is? I don't really know. But to me, at least, that was so painfully obvious. This was a TV show, that this was made for a streaming format and was translated for the big screen. And immediately then, there's a disconnect. Now, a lot of people, especially in the current era that we're in, where universes go in and out of TV and film, you get a lot of people complaining about TV shows not looking as good as films. And to me, that's not an issue. Like, yeah, I would love every TV show's look like Andor, for instance, or like Rings of Power, but it's just not going to happen. And so I don't really mind that we go from one movie where it looks a certain way to a TV show where it looks a little bit worse, because it's TV. It's not supposed to be the same format. I don't go to TV for the same reasons I go to movies. But if you do the opposite, if you take something that was supposed to be on TV and you put it on the big screen, I mean, I saw this in the super screen.
Me too. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, theoretically, it's a fantastic visual place to experience this. But really, everything felt so underbaked and so small. It didn't look bad, really, but it just didn't really do anything. I just, like you just said, it just did nothing new for me at all, especially having seen the first one. It was like, oh, this is just that again, but kind of worse as well. And before the film, I saw the trailer for Mufasa, which I think must have taken a few years off my life. But to that trailer's credit, it plays a certain motif from The Lion King. I can't remember what it is, but we know The Lion King's going incredible. I just spent the whole time in Moana 2 thinking to myself, I really want to watch The Lion King right now. What a beautiful, fascinating film that's just, like, it still stands the test of time. The music's incredible. The characters, it's also iconic, and it's so vibrant and bright, and the animation is stunning. And I was thinking all that, and then I was watching Moana 2 just like, oh, this is so much
worse. You know what I've been thinking all the way throughout Moana 2?
What?
Jeff Goldblum. You know, when he did that advert for Sydney World.
Oh!
I just couldn't stop thinking about it. Hearing that voice when he pronounced Sydney World or something like that. I don't know how you pronounced it. Honestly, that was the most entertaining thing I've seen all day.
I love that advert. It's so silly. What do we get the kids for Christmas? It's such a magical time. They're always on their phones. It's the plot of Toy Story 5.
Oh my God. Imagine Jeff Goldblum just appears out of nowhere in every movie. That would be the most entertaining thing ever.
I wouldn't say no to that.
Yeah. Anyway, Moana 2. We're talking about Moana 2. not Jeff Goldblum.
I wish we were talking about Jeff Goldblum. I feel like I have more to say.
Yeah, there was a lot of things that lacked in this movie. I just didn't have time to understand about the characters in a certain way. Again, should have watched the first movie.
No, I don't think that's the issue. Moana and Maui are in the first film, but all the other side characters are
new.
Yes,
that part, yeah.
We have Boat Lady and Maui Fan and Old Man. Such iconic characters.
Wow,
such memorable characters.
When Old Man says he's an old man, I cried. we didn't really have time to connect with the characters. They were just there for the sake of comedy. I just felt like they were just these stock characters. They were just there trying to service something for the movie. But it was a bit of a chore to like go through these characters as well, because The Rock is in this movie. So I completely forgot The Rock was in this movie like 20 minutes later. I was like, oh, we're back to him again. It's a bit of a chore, really.
I felt like I could tell when each episode ended. I don't know if you got this. The bit where they sail off at the end, there's a big wide shot and they do their singing and then it cuts to Maui and I'm like, that's when episode one ends. That's the roll credits moment.
Yeah.
You could feel it. And then the Maui bit felt like, you know, okay, they've shoehorned that in as a way to cross the two episodes. And then again, when Bat Lady, you remember Bat Lady? When she's
Bat
like,
Lady.
You can go and go forth and then like...
And get
like,
lost.
And that's where, yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then it's like, that's where episode two or three ends. Obviously, they do mask it and they do try and keep it going, but it very
it's
much
very
was like...
structure. It's
it
a very
is,
weird
isn't it?
Structure. You forget about all the other things that happened. Like, for example, Bat Lady. We don't see her again. And I thought she was about to be such an important character.
I thought she was going to be the villain, but the villain is like clouds.
The weather.
Lightning.
The weather. British weather? Perhaps.
Oh.
We have the bipolar of rain, but then snow, but then sunny. Like, all of that combined all together. Crazy. People wouldn't fight against it.
To be continued in Sonic 3, when the
Sonic
cast 3. Go to Britain. They're going to London,
oh my God.
Baby.
Sonic,
it was.
Sonic's
did you watch the post credit scene of this film?
No, I just left. I just left the movie. Tell me what it was.
Well, like, I don't know if this is spoilers, but it's Bat Lady and
I thought you were about to say, like, Batman. Like, he just appeared at the end of the movie.
This might be a spoiler, but Batman was in it. It was specifically Keanu Reeves' Batman from DC's League of Super Pets, because that's a Rock property. It's all the different Rock movies. They're forming a cinematic universe.
Oh my God, and it's Black Adam at the end.
Yo.
It's Maui. You can tell how much we don't want to talk about this movie.
Yeah, we just keep on like going up other things.
Yeah.
So it's Bat Lady, and she sees like the god, and she's like, I paid my debt. And he's like, no, we must destroy Moana. And then from off screen, Tamatoa from the first film, which I'm just seeing on your face, you have no idea what that even means.
Tamatoa.
He's a big crab, and he does a lot of jokes.
Oh,
it was quite good. Yeah, he's a big crab.
Does he play the drums?
Yes, he does.
No, I thought I was getting mixed up with, you know, with DC. You know, there's that squid who played drums in Aquaman.
Yeah. For everyone listening at home, John is miming playing the drums with just the
least
enthusiasm I've
ever I got a
gang
character.
A depressed drummer who just has lost all love for the craft.
I need to play the drums. I need to play the drums.
Oh, dear. So there wasn't really a clear antagonist. But at the same time, there's not a lot of character conflict. So the biggest conflict is that the boat breaks. Or like the rope snaps. So often, everything that happens is fixed so easily. And again, it feels like we're moving forward at like a TV episode pace. But at the same time, we're barely exploring. There's a big song where, because you know, Moana, she assembles the team and they all start sailing away. And it's like, Moana's done this before, but nobody else has done this before. So how does she kind of get them all to come together? Well, they all sing a song. And it's just them being like, I hate it. Actually, I love it. And now I'm dancing. I love it and everything's fine. I just felt like there was so much that we could have gone into and don't. It felt so unbelievably lazy. This is the kind of filmmaking practice that is just dastardly. They made this TV show and then they just kind of throwing it on the big screen. This would probably cost them less than it would to make an actual film. And this film will make a lot of money. If Moana 2 doesn't break $1 billion at the worldwide box office, I will be extremely surprised. It's going to be massive. I don't know how full your cinema was, but my cinema at 7 p.m. on a Friday night was packed. Holy moly.
There was only two people in my cinema.
Really?
I think
including
like a couple parents. I was just sat alone in this entire row contemplating about Jeff Goldblum that entire time. But anyway. Yeah, not many people.
Well, I guess it is Saturday morning.
It was at 9 a.m. Not many people get out of their bed and just like...
I need to watch a movie.
I need to watch Moana.
I need to watch Moana too.
Running to the cinema.
It's going to get $1 million.
It's going
to
make $1 trillion. I wasn't impressed by this movie at all, but I got to say, seeing the kids who were so, so transfixed and were so emotionally invested, and at the end, quite a few kids said in like tearful voices, like, that was so good. And it's like, I'm sorry. Open the schools. Let's take these kids to see The Wild Robot. Show them some actually amazing animated films. Even Inside Out 2 earlier this year. I'm sorry, this film is not even close. And obviously, yeah, I can already see the comments. Oh, but it's a kids' film. No, that is not at all how we need to be thinking about this. Kids' films can be so much more than just this slop that we have been delivered. It's like Bob Iger came in and was like, here's a lovely plate of mush. And we all went, oh, thanks, Bob. When down the road, we got The Wild Robot, who's like, here's a gourmet meal, three course. And you're going to weep through it. Like, this film's going to make $1 billion, John. This film's going to make $1 billion flipping dollars.
You know what's sad? Like, Transformers 1 didn't get enough as well.
That film made less than 200 million. And Moana 2, it doesn't even come close.
I'm just flabbergasted. Like, how does Moana 2 get that much? Unless Dwayne The Rock Johnson is just like, hey, I'm Dwayne The... No, he doesn't speak like that.
What? He's never spoken like that ever.
No.
It's like the Costco guys.
No, oh my God, we are losing it.
We really are.
That's mad, though. Like, we have amazing animation this year, and then we have this, and it's just so confusing. It just baffles me. Like, why do we have this kind of, like, slop? I know Disney can produce more amazing films, but this, it just feels like they're just downsizing on their quality, which just frustrates me even more to like, why do we need to watch these films? There have been some amazing ones in the past, but now we've gotten to Moana 2, Electric Boogaloo. What happened here? What is exactly going on? Like what you said about like, it was going to be a TV show, and you don't really see a lot of things in this movie. It just hurts, really.
I felt the pain in your voice then. It does hurt. Yeah. All the best Disney films and Pixar are original. Unless it's Toy Story. I mean, to be fair, Toy Story is the outlier. You never think, oh yeah, Incredibles 2, masterpiece. Finding Dory, oh my God. The Lion King 2, Aladdin, Return of Jafar, cinema. I'm holding my hands up, cinema. Like, you don't think that. You always think about the originals because those are the ones that captured imaginations, not the live action remakes, not the sequels. This is so boring. I would much rather a new story. Last year we got Wish and it massively underperformed and nobody really liked it. But it's a shame because that film had so much more heart and so much more ambition than this film even begins to have. And it's just like, I know people rejected Wish. I know it wasn't very good. I didn't even think it was very good. But that to me is worth so much more, that attempt at something, that attempt at trying to celebrate 100 years of Disney, than Moana 2, which doesn't, it can barely even celebrate the first film. It's just like, what is this film for?
Yeah, who is it exactly for? I just feels like it goes on to streaming. And it's mad when you think about all the films that were put on streaming, for example, like Soul, Turning Red. Some of those are massive surprises, but we could have seen them on the big screen. What happened here? They weren't meant for streaming. These are amazing movies. Like Soul, for example, that was amazing. Love
Soul
that movie.
Soul was fantastic.
And then now they're just going into streaming and was like, okay, let's just do whatever.
I think Disney Plus was such a mistake. I think
the
way that they approached it, at least, the way that Bob Chapek was like, we're going to release all these films onto streaming rather than give them cinematic releases. We're going to make all these TV shows without finding out what actually works first. It was a whole thing. And this, I feel, is the peak of what went wrong. And the peak of what lessons they are not going to learn, because the film will be insanely popular. The audience applauded when this film finished.
What?
They applauded. Yes.
What? And no, you're kidding me, right? You're kidding me.
Already you shouldn't do that at the cinema because, what? Like, come on. No one's going to hear you. When you're at the theater, you applaud because everyone's there. The orchestra's there. The composer is there. The cast is there. All the crew are there behind the scene. Everyone is there to be applauded to. You applaud at the cinema. That's already a bit, like, right?
That's a bit far-fetched. That's a bit far-fetched. Yeah.
Come on. Come on, do better.
You're actually kidding me. That happened.
Genuinely. I was with my friend and we just looked at each other with such incredulity. And I was going to say as well, the first film, one of the big reasons why it captured imaginations, like I think it is the most streamed film in the Disney catalog, which does not surprise me. There's a reason why, you know, kids love it so much. The music's amazing. Lin-Manuel Miranda, he may be a meme, But my God, can he write songs so well? And it is beyond upsetting that Moana 2 doesn't get Lin-Manuel Miranda back. But you know what does get Lin-Manuel Miranda? Mufasa the Lion King. So he writes, no, genuinely, he's writing new songs for that film, but not for Moana 2, which I tell you what, this film desperately needed that because the songs.
They didn't cook with this. Did you get the theme of the story? Because I was just trying to find out what it's trying to say, you know, to do with the songs, you know, like what the characters' thoughts are. It just didn't really give me, it was like, we're going to a different place now. Yeah.
So the themes were never give up, I think, which is the most baseline thing you could do. Yeah, oh, probably. Okay. Probably something stupid like that. Like, I don't think, like, the songs, they weren't terrible, but they just weren't very good, especially when you compare them to the first film. So much of this film just feels like you did it again, you know, you're just kind of doing the same thing again. And to get into spoilers, maybe the one scene that I really enjoyed was when Moana quote-unquote dies and Maui, she's kind of in his arms and all of her ancestors like surround her in that kind of swirl pattern. I thought it was beautiful. And they were all singing. I think genuinely the best songs that they did in this film were the ones that weren't English, the ones that felt like they had a bit more of a cultural impact. That carried more weight for me. And I loved that scene where they all kind of came together to give her life and to make her a demigod. And she looks over at Maui and she kind of gives him a look of like, oh, I'm a demigod now, but you're not. You've lost your tattoos, you've lost your strength. He smiles and he shrugs. In his mind, he's like, it doesn't matter because you're alive. And I was like, wow, maybe this film kind of has something to say about giving up power and the cost of that. Oh, and then Maui just gets his powers straight back. The film doesn't even have him without his power. Like, sorry? This could have been a whole film about power, about the meaning of a demigod, about Maui. What is he beyond his powers? This is already something that we explored in the first film, like his own hubris, the detriment of immortality, the idea that Moana doesn't want to be a demigod, but the exact thing that can keep her alive is being a demigod. The exact thing that Maui doesn't want, he doesn't want to lose his powers, but to give her powers, that means he has to live regularly. That sounds really interesting. But no, instead, we just have them both becoming demigods and then like, I don't know, flying around together or something. I'm sure we'll see when Moana 3 inevitably comes out.
That was the most shocking thing I watched in that movie. They could have cooked something with this. They could have explored something that is like so meaningful. Like, what does it mean to be a demigod? But no, he just gets his weapon back and that's it. Awful. That's just why it just had so much potential to do that. Also, the other thing is like, we don't really explore the villain, you know, just the cloud, you know, what is his intentions and stuff. He's just angry with people, I guess. And it's then so everything just gets resolved at the end. That's it. I just
genuinely
everything gets resolved. It's a happy ending. Like, oh boy, it's a happy ending.
Uh-oh, John's lost it. It was just so nothing. Like the first film, again, you can't help but compare. It's the doom of all sequels that they have to be different than their predecessors. They have to add something to the table. You know, they've got to expand that world. Otherwise, you are going to be thoroughly disappointed. And the thing about this film is that in the first one, the villain is very complex. And you get this idea of the heart of Tahiti and what happens when power is corrupted and pureness. And it was a beautiful ending. And the villain was really complex. And it was about belief and it was about legend and meeting up to expectations, I guess. And there was a lot to say. It was really surprising. And this film, it's a cloud. And what we discover about the cloud is that it's an angry cloud. And then they kill the angry cloud.
What if clouds have emotions, Tom?
Yo, that's the next... that's
the next sequel! Is the next sequel, guys!
Yo, that's the next Pixar film, actually. What if clouds have emotions?
I think there was a short film, actually, Pixar did, years ago. There was a short film about clouds.
Is it called Partly Cloudy? There is a short animated film called Partly Cloudy here that's from 2022. Is it this? Does that ring a bell?
Yeah, not 2022. Yeah,
that was years ago. 2009. Sorry,
yeah.
The video I'm looking at was uploaded in 2022. I love Pixar shorts.
Do you remember the one that traumatized us, Tom?
Bow. I remember Bow.
My God, it was like
we were so excited for Incredibles 2, and then Bow was just so weirdly emotional. And
it was just
really
so
depressing.
You know, like that plot twist when the mother eats her son, you know, at the end.
Yeah.
No,
I remember.
Yeah, that We were shocked.
It was such a lovely treat to have at the beginning of every Disney film. It really was a great way to kind of express different animation styles and different creatives. And, you know, you then get like a lot of those people like spinning out, because I'm pretty sure the director of Bao then went on to make Turning Red, as you said earlier, which is one of the best Pixar offerings recently, and are also going to be directing Elio, which is the, or is it Elio, which is the Pixar film next year. So
has that been delayed?
Yeah, it's been delayed a bunch of times. Oh, yeah. But that's really exciting. That's really cool.
Yeah.
Remember when we went to see Raya and the Last Dragon? They had a really, really beautiful short at the beginning called Us Again, which is about this old couple
who
spend all their time inside. Then they go outside in the rain and they dance and then they feel young again. But then like they try and run after their youth. And
brilliant.
I miss that. This video is just as much about Moana 2 as it is about just the state of Disney animation and how it's a shame, because they could be doing so much more.
Yeah,
and
so much more, man. Yeah, it sucks.
It feels like they're just doing what they did in the 90s and the 2000s, where they were making all those direct-to-DVD sequels, except now they're releasing them at the cinema and are likely to do really well, which is the most depressing part, because this film does not deserve... Even when you compare it to Inside Out 2, which is currently the highest grossing film of the year, Inside Out 2 has a lot more to say, has a lot more of an expansion on the original. It's just a better movie in every conceivable way than Moana 2. Disappointing. What are you going to give Moana 2 out of 10?
A 4.
Yeah, I agree. 4 out of 10. I hope kids like it, but also watch better movies.
Yes, do not cry at this movie. I'm kidding.
Watch The Wild Robot instead. If you're a parent and you're listening and you want to take your kids to see Moana 2, don't be a coward. Take them to see Conclave instead. Now that, now that is the film you should be taking them to see.
Oh yes, that political thriller, yeah. Oh my god. Or go and see Sonic 3. Oh,
I'm so excited for Sonic 3.
I'm so excited.
Every time I see the trailer, I'm just like, oh my god, this is going to be the greatest thing that has ever happened.
It's going to be so good.
Thank you very much for listening. If you're listening on YouTube and you liked it, you can like and subscribe if you want to see more. And if you're listening on Spotify or Apple, you can like and give us a 5-star review if you think we're worthy. And next week, we were going to do it a couple weeks ago, but we're going to do it. We're finally getting around to it. It's Gladiator 2. Oh, yeah. Look, another underwhelming sequel. I love life.
Yippee! Woohoo! Yes! Yeah! Sequels! Reboots!
And you can send us an email at outsidefilmpod@gmail.com. We've already recorded it. So if you send it, we'll add it in just for you.
Yes, you can follow us on Instagram at outsidefilmpod to see our incredible thumbnails from Zane. As well, on Twitter for more thoughts from me and Tom. And TikTok to see edited clips, which are all also on Instagram Reels and YouTube Shorts. And you can find the links to that all in the description below. Thanks to L. James Mayer for the excellent theme and Roland Phillips for vocals as always. And I think that's everything.
1 week closer to Sonic.
Yes! Oh,
we
Sonic
are,
3.
We're 3 videos away. Let that sink in.
The sink? Where's the sink?
You're so stupid.
Take my kid.
Give nothing back.
Goodbye. Let that sink in.